Alright, so what's up everybody, this is Ruben Garcia and this is a beautiful day, and today on the Proven by Ruben podcast we have Eric Chandler. What's up brother?
What's going on man?
How are you man?
I'm doing phenomenal.
Awesome. If you could, tell everyone who you are, what you do, how you do it, and all that good jazz.
Okay, yeah, so my name is Eric Chandler, I'm a client appreciation strategist, and basically what we do is help companies implement automated follow-up gifting services. It could be different things from custom engraved gifts, branded products, handwritten cards, all tied with powerful messaging that creates a culture of raving fans so that their clients are their advocates in the community when they're not around.
Gotcha, gotcha. And what's your position in this company?
I'm the CEO.
Got it. Okay, perfect. So what started this all for you? What started this for Eric Chandler growing this business?
Oh man, I mean, you know, really, it's just seeing an opportunity and taking action on that opportunity. Because if I really go back, it started like about 6 years ago.
Gotcha.
Yeah. 6 years ago, selling Cutco knives. I started off selling Cutco knives. A lot of people heard about those. And I was definitely not a rock star from the get-go. I actually had no sales experience. I was in college. I was still competing and wrestling. And at first, it was just something to build my resume and have a flexible income around wrestling. Then I continued with that company. I actually started excelling, getting better at sales, and then I took a leadership role with them and ran a branch office hiring and training sales reps. So I had an opportunity to hire and train 64 sales reps in about a 3.5 month period. So I was in recruiting. It was cool just, you know, running a receptionist staff, and that's kind of where I learned some leadership skills. And then, then I went into a program with Cutco where they had something where basically the realtor program, and that's kind of where I met you.
Yes.
So this is a program where we helped realtors brand their business using the Cutco product as a closing gift, right?
Gotcha.
The biggest problem that most realtors face when it comes to client retention is simply being top of mind when their client needs them.
That's right.
So we would put these Cutco knives, which are guaranteed forever, incorporate into the client's daily routine, and they would give them branded with their information. So it gave top mind awareness, and the client got a great product they use all the time. And so I started there. That's really where it really started to kind of change for me, going from like selling knives to actually like selling, you know, the knife was now a product.
Yeah.
And really what we were doing is helping people stay connected. And the product was just an avenue to do that.
Right.
And I realized not everybody wanted to give a knife. So I said, well, what else could we give that would make sense as a strategic gift? So that's where we came out with cutting boards.
Yes.
And a few other different gift options, insulated drinkware. We started thinking, you know, if we're going to give gifts, like what gifts should we give? And we started thinking, well, so we came up with basically the standard for the gifts that we would offer to clients, which is it visible? Is it practical? Is it used daily? Like, is it incorporated into their daily routine? Is it high quality? And can it be customized? So we came out with a few different products, and I rebranded as Cutting Edge Gifting because I wanted to be positioned not as like a Cutco guy, but as a gifting company, right? And kind of expand our offering so we can bring more value to the market. And then we, you know, at that point, you know, I was basically just sourcing different products and stocking them at an engraving shop, or buying them wholesale and then having them do the fulfillment and ship it.
Yeah.
And after a while, like we started growing so much, I started realizing that doing it that way, I couldn't bring the level of service that I wanted to because I wasn't in control of my fulfillment. So if something messed up, my level of service is only good as their level of service.
Yes.
So I ended up starting my own engraving shop so I can do all of my own fulfillment. And you know, so that started to grow. We started doing that last year. We partnered with the company in Wilmington, and basically we created a brand called Wilmy Vet Boards. So we actually launched our own line of cutting boards.
Wow.
And, you know, what's really cool about that is we just did our first community project. I'm super happy to share that. There was Alan. He's a 22-year Marine. He has 7 deployments. He had been blown up twice. He's fully disabled. Mm. And he had an issue where he suffered from seizures, and he actually had a seizure and fell over in a shower and bumped his head and got knocked unconscious.
Whoa.
And like for him, that was one of the most powerful things that could change his life. He needed a handicap accessible shower. So just about 3.5 weeks ago, we finished that up for him, and we're looking to do more.
Can we see that? Do you have video?
I have video and pictures.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome. I'll share that with you. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. His wife was, you know, sending me pictures as they were doing the work, like the before, the during, the after.
Right.
And she said that it brought tears to his eyes, and I was like, wow, like something so simple could mean so much to somebody. And, you know, and I really have my clients to thank for supporting us by giving that client that gift to their clients. Right.
Yes, that's right.
So then we started doing that. And then we also, I went to a conference, a Tony Robbins conference called Business Mastery. And I had a shift in my perspective on what I actually offered and how I could bring more value.
Right.
And, you know, for us, it's like we give gifts to keep people connected, make impressions, right? Show and express gratitude and appreciation. But we're also there to make sure that that client has our client top of mind when they need them.
Right.
And we want to help our clients turn them into raving fans.
Yep.
Because if somebody has a client, or this is what I learned at that conference, if somebody has a client, right, that client means, you know, they're subject to use somebody else whenever the time comes.
The market's right? the market.
A raving fan will be with you for life and
True.
Be your advocate. When somebody mentions real estate, oh my gosh, I got to introduce my guy Ruben. You can't use anybody else. That's a raving fan. That's a raving fan. And how do we do this? By coming up with, you know, message. So basically the shift that we made was going from, here's some great products, it's a strategic gift, here you go, I hope your client likes it, to, hey, look, we can now handle all the fulfillment, all the logistics, and put together messaging with handwritten cards packaged in a way that gets you the best response, right? So we started implementing gifting strategies that got our clients calling them with gratitude and appreciation, sending them pictures, and ultimately, it leads to more business, right? Whether it's through the same person,
no doubt.
Whether it's through getting referrals, and you know, you're just building that relationship. So we have a campaign program now where we'll design a follow-up strategy consisting of all these things dropped over a period of time. So we work with clients now to say, you know, what does your client experience look like as far as custom engraved branded products or handwritten cards? And we design a schedule, come up with the messaging, and we start with, how do we want the client to feel,
right?
Most of the time people say, what am I going to get a client? We change that shift from what are you going to give to how do you want your client to feel? And then let's design a gifting strategy around that. And that's kind of where we are today.
Wow. So that was 0 to 100 times 100.
Dude, right now this is just the beginning. We've got so many more things coming. It's
exactly.
Crazy.
And that kind of rolls me to my next question, because you have the mindset of innovation, right? And you have the mindset where you're constantly asking questions to yourself of how can this thing get better? You know, how should I be looking at it, right? Mm-hmm. So what is next? I mean, we just heard from I sucked at Cutco to now I'm the CEO of running my own company. So you know, what's next? What's next? What are you questioning? Like, how can things get better? Talk to us about that.
Well, I think when I think of that question, I look at it as different areas, right?
Of course you do. Let's hear them. I mean, I love it. This is that mindset I want to hear.
Right. No, great. Perfect. You know, cause there's my, you know, there's my personal life. There's my business life. There's my life with my family. You know, one other thing that I'll share is, you know, when I came up to school, to wrestle in college, when I left, a lot of my family was living in a homeless shelter. And so my mission at one point was basically to grow a business so that I can provide jobs for them. And you know, so it was my stepmom, it was my mom, my stepdad, my younger sister, my younger brother, my older sister, her kids, and her husband were all living in a homeless shelter. And today, my stepmom, my brother, my twin brother, two of my aunts, and my older sister now all work in our company, providing for their family. So, you know, what's next as far as that front goes, that was a mission of mine, was basically to get everybody set up and move out of poverty to at least middle class, where money's coming in and it's steady and it's not like a headache.
Yeah.
Right? At least you can provide for yourself. So I'm moving my family up.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for enjoying the podcast so far. This is Ruben Garcia. What happened? Total rookie mistake. The batteries died in the audio recorder after this. However, we do have the video, which is on our YouTube channel at Proven by Ruben, and we pulled the audio from that. Now, I will warn you, the audio is not the best. However, you will get tons and tons of value out of Eric Chandler when you keep listening. So, keep listening. Enjoy the podcast. Just want to give you a heads up. Thanks. Enjoy.
Moving up, really, and I'm going to help assist them get into the houses and just kind of, you know, continue to help them grow and change their financial path, their financial trajectory. And then as far as like our company, we just brought on an agency that's going to really help us with project management, because you got to think, now we have about 12 people in our organization, and you know,
You know, when you're just starting this thing from scratch, it's you. Like, you're the janitor, you're the trainer, you're the salesperson, you're the system developer, you're the marketer, you're doing everything, right? So over time, I've started to build different positions and kind of leverage people and systems.
Love it.
To kind of scale. So I think the next step for me is to move out of production. Up till now, I've been probably the number one producer in our organization, and
right.
I've hired a few different sales reps, some inside sales reps, some outside sales reps that are going to be fielding the calls. And basically, the transition is going to be me doing events. I know you've seen me at events. I would do about 200 events where I would sponsor and speak, collect cards, and close sales and follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to be speaking at those events, and if somebody sells, they can, but our offer is different, right? Before it was like, you know, like I need to close a sale now, and that's important. But now with the way that we integrate with people's business through our dropshipping program, we have subscription-based business now. It's just a little bit different, right? It's more about nurturing and building the relationship and providing as much value as possible. And so when I'm at those events, it's really about providing value. And hey, if you're ready to go and you need to place an order, great. If not, give me your information. And now I'm going to have a sales funnel that people will go through
right. That
where we can kind of tell our story.
Yes.
And then have internal sales people that can follow up, and then internal service people that can also follow up from the service end, and then we have our fulfillment department that will handle logistics and fulfillment. And then my role is basically to speak at these events and drive leads, and at some point the next step would be to get somebody else to run those events in my area for me, in my place, and now I've completely removed myself from the sales process. We have leads coming in, people with the face at events, then people following up closing sales, and then I can work on more, okay, what's product development look like? What's the direction of the company? How is the branding looking, right? And then I'm basically going to be working with special teams and then leveraging those teams to grow. There's a couple other things that we're looking at. You know, we've basically 10x to 100x our average order with this new program. It's not for everybody, but it's much higher level service. So my focus is now going to shift to finding more of those clients that we can serve at that level. And then also we have a line of wholesalers that we do fulfillment for.
Mm-hmm.
So my role is going to be more building relationships with those wholesalers, finding and building relationships with those top tier clients that we want to have,
mm-hmm.
While the sales team and the system is running itself. And then also just start planning for future growth. Like, you know, when you 10x your business, right, we're running it out of the house, it's not going to work anymore. So, like,
right.
just kind of basically looking at what could potentially sink my business, right, so I'm 7 steps ahead.
Right.
And start planning for that, right,
mm-hmm.
Which we already do, but, like, if I had more time to focus on that.
That's right.
And then I'm also potentially looking for investors, and we want to grow to be at least a $10 million company in the next couple of years.
Wow. Okay, so do you have all of this planned out? So say, for example, talent comes to your business, they're excited, your energy's already got them excited, right? But they see the growth, they see where you guys are going. Do you have a roadmap of everything that you just said that we could kind of look at, play out, say, this is my next step, this is my next step? Like, have you grown that, or is it just grind, hustle, and this is kind of what I see coming?
This is what I see coming, and that's the plan,
the
master plan. I don't have it mapped out completely because
yeah.
I'm going through the process now, right?
Right.
Our business is shifting so fast
that
I'm like, okay, cool. So this is how I'm going to adjust. This is how I'm going to adjust. So right now I see that being the future.
Yeah.
That could adjust, that could shift, that could change.
Right.
But, you know, like, I've got a session with him after this podcast.
Yep.
We'll be talking about rewords, right?
Yep.
Next week he's going to start taking that on. So, you know, I don't have it like absolutely written out, but I have it up here.
Gotcha. So from the very beginning, you know, if we back up back to 1 or 2, because we're at like 1,000 right now, which is awesome, right?
Yeah.
And I know you're looking at 10x, 1,000, but let's say we're at 2 or 3 right now. You said that when you first started at Cutco, you weren't that good. Like, how long were you not that good, and then why did you stay in it?
Okay, how long was I not good? I wasn't good. For a while, put it like this, by the time I got good, most of the people in my initial training class had quit.
Mm.
The people that were rock stars from the get-go, they'd already lost. So they have this thing called this fast start, your first 10 days. And they, you know, the goal is to go out there and crush it, do as many appointments with people that you know, and get as much experience as you can. But I was born and raised in Miami and came up to Greensboro and didn't know anybody. Before selling Cutco knives, I worked in a restaurant as a sous chef. And then before that, I did able-bodied labor. This is where, because believe it or not, like I was a D1 athlete, wrestling in college, had great grades. I couldn't get a summer job to save my life. At the mall, restaurant, I couldn't get a summer job.
Yeah.
But there was this one place called able-bodied labor, and it's basically a place that you walk up to every day at 5:30 in the morning, you have your boots on, packed lunch, and they send you out to a construction site for the day. And you're basically doing stuff like moving rebar, pulling wood out of creeks, and then you come back, you pay minimum wage, you're working this hot sun all day, from 5:30 to whenever the job is done.
Yeah.
And they pay you out the same day because it's not guaranteed, and you gotta get up and go work the next day.
Yeah.
So I basically did that Monday through Friday, and then I would train in the evenings, work out in the evenings my first summer, right? So, and then so funny, looking back at like where I am now, I was so thankful to have that opportunity. I was like, I made $200 this week!
Yeah.
Yeah! Like, I'm doing it, you know?
And especially something that's not guaranteed, right?
Well, see, here's the thing: is I made sure that it was guaranteed because I worked my tail off. I was like, I got on a ticket today.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure that when this person needs more people like us, they're selling. Hey, send that other guy that came that last time.
Right.
So I worked harder than every single person out there. I was also at an advantage. I was like a 21-year-old college athlete.
Yeah.
And I'm working with like, you know, 50, 60-year-old.
You're picking up the people that are falling out on the field, like you know.
Yeah, yeah, hey man, take it easy. Yeah. Take a rest.
Got your
you know, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Grandpa Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, and I loved it, but and I think so then, but I was a little rough around the edges, you know,
right.
So when I started selling Cutco knives, I was a hard worker.
Yeah.
And I had a lot of grind. I was willing to grind, and I didn't care about rejection.
Yes.
I was like, oh, they said no. Okay, cool. And then what? You know, basically why I kind of like had that shift was I had a long-term mission. So a long-term goal for me was just 1 year. I was like, okay, so I'm in college right now. The best job I can get right now is $8.50 an hour. And if I just continue and they have this commission level where I, in my mind, I'm like, if I just sell this amount and at that commission level and I'll make $500 a week, that's more than any job that I can get right now.
Right.
If I can do that, that is a dream.
Right.
Right? So that's what I had in my head, and I was like, I'm committed to it for at least a year to get to that point, right?
Mm.
So most young people, when they start selling Cutco, they don't see some success right away. You got to give yourself time to like learn and like develop, right? Like I was the worst because I was just, you know, I was working in construction, no communication skills, hard-nosed wrestler.
Yeah.
You know, like you. You know what about the knives? Put you in a lock right now. Well, why not?
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
No, actually, and because it had come from such a poor background, my perception on what people would spend on our product is what really held me back. Is like I was like, there's no way somebody's gonna spend $60 on a knife.
Interesting.
So I didn't have the belief that people would buy it, but I saw it week in and week out, and I was like, if this person can do it, I know I can do it. So that right there showed me possibility.
Right.
And because I knew it was possible, I knew that I could achieve it.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm gonna figure it out. I don't wanna work in this restaurant anymore because I was doing both jobs at the time. I'm gonna figure it out. So I became a student. And I got all the manuals, I learned like what kind of metal went into our products, I became an expert on the product, I studied every single knife in the chest, and then I went to conferences and I started to put money, more time into my personal growth development. Now my manager would develop me and he would coach me and train me, right?
Right.
But when I first invested $600 into a 3-day event, and it was basically all the top people in Cutco would go every year, they would share the goods, and I came back from that and I had an 80% closing percentage. If I met with 5 people, I was closing 4.
Mm.
For every 10 calls I would make, I was booking an appointment. Not answers, calls. If I got 3-4 answers, I might book 1 to 2 appointments.
Yeah.
So my phone time got a lot better,
and
I took on an assistant management role. And so really, I think the shift was I started investing in myself.
Yeah, and I think that's super interesting because I didn't see it going there. You know, with one of the challenges being that you just didn't believe that there were people out there that would drop this kind of money for this type of knife that cuts through just like, well, not just like, nothing just like. But I mean, they could pick up a knife at Walmart, right, for a couple bucks, and you had to have that mind shift, like, holy crap, this is a legit thing, this is a real thing. People will spend this much money, and it had to be a mind shift that this could be done before you could even move further. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and because you think about it, like I was operating from my perspective,
right?
Which is broke college kid,
right?
That it's like right. eating beans and rice, like
yeah.
To like, so I saw that money is so valuable. Where you know I'm going and seeing people in their mid 30s, they're homeowners, they're married, they use this product, like they're in the market
yeah.
for it.
Right.
So that was the biggest shift too, is to realize like they're not me.
Right.
Right. And I think that a lot of people make that mistake of like, with a lot of decisions that people make, it's like they use their own personal judgment or their own
yeah.
view, their own lens of the world
yeah.
instead of like looking at like, you know, putting on a different perspective.
Yep.
So it was, you know, and then after I started seeing some success, obviously that builds more confidence in what I'm doing. And then I went to that conference and I met a ton of people and that built more confidence in what I was doing. And then I just had a trigger switch and basically, you know, since I was 9 years old wrestling, growing up, you know, I won 3 state titles. I was All-American many times. I won nationals while I was in college. And I put that focus and that energy into sales. And then that's
yeah.
when it started to create that momentum that built into
yeah.
the story I mentioned at the beginning.
So what else, and it's so cool that you were going there because I was just about to ask that question. How has wrestling helped you in business?
Oh,
besides literally taking down your competitors.
I think wrestling and I think sports in general, but specifically wrestling because
right.
it's a one-on-one sport. So I was held accountable for my results. I held myself accountable because when I'm out there on the mat, there's nobody else out there. I can't blame my coach. I can't blame my teammates.
Right.
It's me. Right? So that instilled, like, if I want something, I've got to make it happen. And then the discipline of like training every day, and my dad played a huge role. I remember when I was 10 years old, I was 9, about to be 10 years old, I just started wrestling, and he was like, you know, my first wrestling tournament said, hey man, I really think that you have a chance at winning a state tournament this year. And I said, oh, that sounds cool. I want to be a state champion, you know? Like,
yeah.
And he was like, if you do everything that I say, I think that you can, you know, I'm pretty sure you can win. It's like, okay. Whatever you tell me to do, my faith is in you, I'll do it. You tell me to jump, I jump. You tell me to run, I run. You tell me to shoot, I shoot. So basically from that point forward, I put all my faith in my coach and just said, hey, I'm the body, you tell me what
yep.
to do, and I'm going
to
get there.
Yeah, and you have that discipline to do that, right? Instead of, and you have to check yourself because sometimes, hey, what's up? Because sometimes you may in your own mind say, no, this is the way I should, or maybe I should shoot to the right before takedown, right? Like, you have to have discipline enough in you to actually listen to your coach, right? And move forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think the discipline comes when it's like, you know, nobody knows how hard you're going except you.
Mm-hmm.
So the discipline is pushing yourself to do it. So for me, it wasn't really necessarily listening to my coach. I felt like that was an easy thing. It's kind of like, you know, working out,
gotcha.
working out at the gym by yourself versus working out with a trainer.
Right.
All you gotta do is do what the trainer says.
Yeah.
Right? Now, when you're doing it, are you really giving it your
yeah.
all? That's the discipline. The discipline to say, I left it all out there because only you know whether you did or didn't.
Very true.
Right?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And the analogy of you being the wrestler, right? Just one-on-one versus a team, it is all on you. And it is all on your shoulders. And the pressure there is going to help you out in business, right?
Yeah.
It was cool to see that. It was cool to see. So, struggled a little bit, got up on your feet, started growing in Cutco. What's the difference in mindset from growing in Cutco and branding your own business and growing to that level? What's been the difference in mindset there to actually move to that second level?
It's biggest shift. So I had a few, I'd say two pinnacle points.
Yeah.
The first one was, it's not how many hours you work, it's how many hours of work on your behalf. So
mm-hmm.
leveraging people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I was grinding, I
yes.
was working, I was working, I was working. But you get to a point where you can only do so much.
Yep.
Right? Even, you know, and then you get efficient within that role, but to really scale and grow to an influential leader or a CEO, right? Like a lot of people call themselves a CEO, but like they're really a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they might be the CEO, and that might even be their title, and they're in charge of all these things, but ultimately, like, to scale beyond yourself, you need to hire more people that will take on either some of the admins. You can still be the main producer if you want, right? But ideally, like, the CEO is not the main producer. So leveraging other people and creating positions and opportunities for other people.
Yeah.
And the second shift was going from serving myself to serving others. Right? When I'm by myself, it's like, yeah, I'm growing. I've got to make more, but it's all for me. I've got to get a nicer car. I've got to get a nicer house. I've got to get a better financial status. Right? To like, okay, cool. Now, how can I work so hard to create a position for somebody else that needs it? Like my brother Jay,
mm-hmm.
or my sister Sarah,
yeah.
or our entire team.
Yeah.
Right now, we're at a point where we were hiring outside of our family, obviously, but it's like, how can I basically serve them? How can I create opportunities for them? Right? So being serving me to serving them, and then also when it comes to our clients, it's like, you know, going from like, I've got to close this deal because I need this,
mm-hmm.
to like, I'm here to serve them. And then tapping into like, what is the extent of my service, right? Because I might help this one person with this, but there's a ripple effect, right? And like, I can imagine sometimes there's a sea of people that I will never even meet. They get our gifts and we put a smile on their face, right?
Yeah, this whole game changes when you make it bigger than you. Not only in business, but in life.
Right.
As soon as it becomes bigger than you, you feel that you can make a bigger impact. You work a little bit harder because it's no longer about you.
Yeah, it's way more motivating. It's way more energizing. You know, especially when you know you got people that are counting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's not just you anymore. Right? It's like, I gotta build for them.
Yep. And all their dreams and the things
all
that
their
they want. Yep.
And then and their family.
Yep.
And I've got to become better and greater for our clients and give a better service to them and bring more value to them. I've got to do more so that I can help more veterans in need, right? The bigger our company gets, the more projects that we can do,
mm-hmm.
right? The more people that we can help and the bigger impact that we can leave on this world.
It's crazy. So I've interviewed a couple of CEOs already and business leaders and I feel like we're getting the same type of conversation no matter what the business is. You are growing a business to impact other people's lives and allow other people to have more opportunity than they've ever had in their life. And it's so cool because you see people that, I mean, this is kind of how it progresses, right? They do it for themselves at first because they just need to get out of their current situation.
Yeah.
Right? So they're going to grind. They're going to hustle.
Right.
Screw skill. I'm just going to work my butt off because this is what it takes to get here. Then you find out skill's kind of important. Right?
And you could have got there a lot faster with a little skill.
Yeah. And then leverage, right? Leverage where you can leverage other people. But it's so cool to watch because the mold ends up being this person that is put on earth to impact others. And I'm hearing it through your story as well.
Yeah.
That's why I think we're good friends. You're the man. So say you grow to a point, you're completely leveraged out, right? You have a sales force, and now you're working on the business instead of in the business, right? You're doing the vision stuff. Do you see yourself, and I know that you said that you'll be speaking and talking, but I see that you have enough energy to pull this off, right? That where some of your speaking gigs, yes, they're going to be motivational, but it's like a business conversation, like standing up and speaking, yes, about your life, yes, about your story, but do you see yourself kind of traveling and doing not so much a sales conversation on stage, but a motivated, talking to business leaders, traveling and having that conversation on stage?
Yeah,
do you see
absolutely.
That coming up?
Yeah, I mean, if that opportunity ever came up, I would definitely take it. Because I feel like I have value to share, and
right.
if there's somebody that can be inspired or do better or get something from it, like, I'm not serving anybody, I'm being selfish by not sharing that.
That's right.
So, yeah, I can definitely see that.
I can see that too. I can see that going in the future. This is what's cool about podcasts, is because this will allow you to have a stage in their car.
Yeah.
Right. Or a stage in their bathroom. But, you know, some people, and the reason why I wanted to know about your dirt, like the grind at first, is because a lot of people are there and they need to hear that, right? And now ultimately it's on them, right? If it's wrestling, it's one-on-one, they need to go out there, they need to take action. But it feels good to hear that somebody had to show up for work every day because it wasn't guaranteed, it wasn't a salary. You're not hired. You're hired for this one job, come back tomorrow to see, like, that type of grind,
yeah.
You know, and that type of dirt, and then to grow to be where you're at, and no excuses. Like whatever this person, whoever's listening to it right now, they may have threw like three or four excuses out while they're listening to you. Oh, well, this is why I can't do it. Bull. That's bull. Because right. Your story is should wake them up, slap them in the face, and be like, listen, you can too.
Yeah. I hope, and you know, like, we're all guilty of our own excuses, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, I think if somebody can put on a different lens and see their situation from third person,
yeah,
and remove their ego, that's another thing, is when yeah. people don't succeed.
You're just coaching someone. Yes.
When they don't succeed, their ego gets in the way, and
yep.
they've got to make excuses
yep.
so they can feel better about themselves.
That's right.
And really, it's just like, put the ego in the box, do what you must.
Yeah, so I'm coaching an agent who's growing a team, and they have an agent on their team. She was afraid to have this this very confronting conversation with him because of his ego.
Mm.
And I was like, listen, if a guy's got, ego is one of the most dangerous things that you can have in your organization. You have to have a strong conversation with him. He's got to change it or he's out. I mean, ego could kill everything. There's no room for ego in the business, especially if you're trying to build like a strong culture. You can't have ego in there walking around.
No, man.
Where's growth in ego?
No, I think there might even be some shrinkage. You know, like, ego, you've got to make others feel small. Like
yep.
there's no growth. It's only
exactly.
it's like ego feels bigger by making others smaller.
That's right.
You know, versus growing, right? So,
so what would you tell that person?
The person that needs to have a conversation with somebody who has a big ego.
So you have someone on your sales team, they have a big ego, and you kind of don't want to approach them because of their ego. Now I know you would, but how would you coach me? I'm the person that has the salesperson on my team, and I need you to coach me on how I'm going to talk to this person with a large ego.
I'm going to coach you on talking to somebody with a big ego.
Yes.
So give me some perspective here. What am I going to talk to you about? Like, why do I need to talk to you?
Well, you would like to have him in a different position on the team, but you know his ego won't allow him to go in that position because it's quote unquote a lower position.
Okay. It's like, hey Ruben, thanks for taking some time to sit with me. I really appreciate it. You're super busy.
Yeah.
So it means the world to me. Just taking some minutes, some time to hear me out on what I think that we need to grow as a team.
Gotcha.
If there's anything that I could do to help support you, let me know. I definitely do it. But there's a few things I'd like to share with you. If you're open to maybe adjusting or at least hearing me out, I think if we make these changes, I think that we're all going to be a lot better off. Are you open to like hearing some ideas?
Yes, of course.
Right, so that what that does is that sets
yeah.
a frame.
Yeah.
And it opens them up, right?
Yep.
And then it's just, you go into it, and I would say, you know, let me think through this.
That was good, though. I mean,
but like that would set a frame,
yes,
and then just going through it, and it's just like, hey, it's not about you, right? So anything
right.
that, so the main
yes.
thing I would say is just,
right.
it's just don't take shots at them, and don't
right.
make them the problem,
right.
right? But it's like, hey, look, I'm doing this from a place of service, I'm coming at you because I think this is better for us all, and I want to hear your perspective on
yes.
it. So this is how I think that we can improve. I feel like I would be supported and served at a much higher level. It would help me out a ton if you would do X, Y, Z.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
And then now it's like, now you position it as like, hey, you're helping me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So now you're a value add.
Yep.
Right? And if he has a big ego, that might be like, right? So then basically there I
yeah.
would see how the conversation goes, how does
yeah.
he react to that. Maybe
right.
if he jumps back and he's just like, oh, no, I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, look. You know, like, bring it back down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, and finding out, and tell me if you do this in your organization as well, for the salespeople, for the admin, you're figuring out their motivation, their why, the things that they want to accomplish in life, because by moving that person in that different position, it will literally set them up to reach their why. But they have to go through that grind before moving to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find out people's whys and stuff in your organization so you can help them get to that point?
Yeah.
How has that been a powerful tool?
Oh, man, because what it does is it gives purpose to their daily action.
Yeah, agreed.
It gives purpose to their daily action. So you find it, and what you find is that like your whys aren't their whys.
Right.
Right. You might want to do,
right?
So your whys aren't their whys. So you
yeah.
might be speaking to, you're like, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And
yeah.
they're going, oh, God, all I really want is this.
Yes.
You know?
Yep.
So going through that discovery process of asking them, so like, you know, I want to set some time to like talk about you and
yes.
what what you want out of life and how we can help you get there.
That's right.
Right? And how your mission and your vision for your personal life and where you want to be intersects with the work that we do together.
Agreed.
And then when you have that conversation, like I found out, for example, one of my staff, she just wants to have 4 weeks off a year where she doesn't have to worry about work. So our thing is we're mobile, right? With our business, nobody clocks in. You have your tasks that you're supposed to do, and you get it done, right? If you're not getting it done, then there's some conversations. But basically, people can get it done. But if you can travel, you have to tell me you're going on vacation, you have to tell me anything, but you've got to continue doing it. But that's not fair if somebody wants to take a legit vacation and they still got to worry about work, right?
Right.
So what she wanted was just to take a vacation. This is so reasonable. I would have never known if I didn't ask her. She
right.
just wants freedom to be completely off and away from work for 4 weeks out of the year. Right?
And why? Why is that important to her?
Her freedom. She's getting closer to retirement age.
Yeah.
She wants to have a life outside of work. Right? So it's like, maybe here's this hard stop time. The challenge with that is, you know, you work whenever you want. You want to work late, you work late. You want to work early, you work
right.
early. Right? You design
right.
your own schedule, basically.
Right.
But so then that said, okay, cool. How do we make that a reality? Okay, well, we need to make that a reality. What would that look like, Gloria?
Right.
Like, what would we need to do?
Like, yeah.
What would we need to do to make that a reality? Well, you know, somebody would have to fill in. Okay, cool. So what do we got to do to make sure that somebody can fill in for you when you're on vacation? Well, there's probably got to be a manual. Okay, great. What would be in that manual? You know, you just go through this.
The power of questions, right?
Yeah. And then, okay, great. Now we have what we're doing is we're optimizing the current system.
Yeah.
Everybody on their team is going to create a manual.
Yes.
And really they're creating a manual, but really what they're doing is they're creating freedom on vacation.
Yes. Yes.
Right? They're creating a physical
yeah.
manual for the business,
yeah.
but what they're creating in their own life is their freedom to travel on vacation and not
That's
do
right.
work.
And if you listen but never heard them, right? And you heard four weeks of vacation out of the year and you say, okay, great. Here. There it is. Done. Woo! And then, like, you just put it on the calendar, and you give them 4 weeks, and you think that
is
not right. But in that, with you asking the questions, both of you work together to make sure that they literally fulfill their why.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be so happy when she goes on vacation.
Yeah.
I'm like, send me pictures.
Yep.
You better not get on your computer. And I'm gonna be so happy for her. And the fact that I played a role in helping her create a reality for her life that she wanted and she sees as a dream. Oh man, that's fulfilling for me.
So what would you say to any, because and I'm only going to go here because this is kind of where you start for Cutco people who are just moving into this business of gifts, like gift client care. What'd you call it?
Gifting strategies, client appreciation.
Yeah. Anybody who's looking to move into this industry, one, they call you, right? Because if they're talented, then I'm sure you want to talk with them.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you tell them, people that want to move into this industry?
Well, first I would ask them, like, why do you want to get into the industry?
Mm.
Right?
Right.
And I would just, you know, most people, it's going to be need to make money.
Yeah.
Right? And I'll say, like, I would just figure out what's your deeper purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and you might not know that, right? But and making money could be a good initial motivator, but it's only a good motivator until you meet your money goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Unless you're money hungry. Right? Everybody wants more money, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, I would ask them, like, why. I would ask them if they feel comfortable speaking in front of people. I would have to discover some of their core beliefs, and it's just like, if some of their core beliefs are like, yeah, it's good to show gratitude and appreciation, right? They believe in connecting people, right? Like, then that's in line with kind of what we do.
Gotcha.
And then the three things that I would look for, you're talking about like funds to hire?
Yes, exactly.
If I'm looking to hire them, I'm looking for three things, right? Are they humble?
Yes.
Right? Are they hungry? And are they smart? Right? Humble, we all know what ego does.
Yep.
Right? Hungry, are they going to do what it takes? Are they going to be hungry? Are they going to go out there and get it? Right? And then, what was the third one?
Smart.
Yeah.
Yes. Was that a test question to see if I was smart?
Exactly. No, and smart, and I don't mean like book smart. I mean, are you smart in the sense that you understand how your words affect other people? Are you socially aware? Right? If I say this, this is going to cause that emotion by this person. Yeah, right. Right. Do you understand how your actions affect other people? So those three things are what I look for.
Has that been a good cornerstone to figuring out who's... not only who should be in the organization, but now that they're in the organization, they're really showing up and doing the things that they said they were going to do?
Yeah.
Awesome. So I got a few questions I'm going to throw at you, okay?
Let's do it. All
right. What do you believe separates excellent from average?
Excellent from average? Massive action.
Action?
Massive action.
Massive action.
Massive action. Has to be massive action. Right? Whether, because even right now, today, like if I'm in sales,
yes.
Massive action on the phone and events. Right? If I'm a CEO, what are those action steps for me, and am I taking them in a big way? Right? Because if I'm just kind of, you know, you're average, you can be taking action.
Right.
Average people still take action.
Right.
They're just not taking massive action on the things that they need to get done. So,
right.
And that's applicable, I feel like, to anybody's role. So whether you're a janitor, an engraver,
right.
Like, are you taking action on what you're doing? That, I think that separates the difference. The average people take action. Great top performers take massive action.
So I know you know Grant Cardone, right? And you study Grant Cardone. So would you say that that's a formula to kind of put yourself in check for massive action is just 10x everything?
Yeah, 10x everything. But I think that there's some time for reflection before you 10x.
Got it.
I think that you need to step back and sometimes take a look and say, like, is this the thing that I should be 10xing my massive action?
20.
And where else, like, what other areas for opportunity could I potentially be getting better results with my time or moving my mission or my goal forward?
So have you heard of the 80-20 rule?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where you...
Yeah, 80-20 rule, right, like, you know, like taking massive action. I can take massive action and make calls all day. And my, you know, let's say our average ticket is $800, right? Well, I can take massive action and get a ton of $800 orders, or I can take massive action and get, you know, $50,000 orders.
Right.
Which to some industries that's like nothing, but in the gifting business, if you got somebody who's spending 50 grand or close to six figures with you, that's a massive order.
Yeah.
Right. Even a five-figure deal is a pretty big order.
Yeah. So for everyone who's listening, if you're taking action on something, you want to separate yourself from average to excellent, literally take massive action. 100%. But like you said,
on the right activities.
On
the
right
activities. You can be, that's why I said on the right activities.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm taking massive action today.
Oh, yeah.
I cleaned my room, I got an oil change, I cleaned my car, I did the dishes,
yeah.
And I still have not made one call.
No. That's right.
You know?
That's right. Because some people feel busy all day. At the end of the day, when they lay down, they don't feel like they've accomplished.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, what have you gotten better to saying no to?
I've gotten better to saying no to distraction.
Like?
You know, it could be, you know, social media. It could be people that want my time that I know. Basically being a guardian of my calendar, my time. So there's three things I'd say. Time, mind, and energy, right? What am I putting in my body that's producing the energy? Where's my mind? What's the internal dialogue in my head? Right? Am I telling myself I can do it? What's the language going on in there?
Right.
Right? And then like external and others, right? Like who am I allowing in my calendar? Where's my time going? Am I laying in bed just scrolling mindlessly, which I definitely do sometimes.
How do you keep yourself in check when your mind says you can't do something?
You find evidence that you can't. Right? Like, I mean, I have a belief now that I have a belief in possibility. And I know that there's things every day that are done that have never been done before. And because I have this belief in my core, I don't ever tell myself I can't do something.
Perfect. And the reason why I stay on, if you notice, a lot of the questions are focused towards like think and mind. Because I truly believe as long as you think differently, I mean, you can accomplish anything you want. I remember, and just to go back real quick, I remember walking in my less than 1,000 square foot home, raising my daughter, you know, and I was walking around and just saying, I'm a millionaire. Like, and I was jumping in my 1990 Crown Vic that was breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a water bottle in the, where you put the bottles,
mm-hmm.
right? And I was pretending it was a stick shift or a Ferrari. It was complete mindset. I already believed that I was there before I was ever there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's literally just a switch. You just have to believe. You just have to truly, truly, truly believe that this is something you can accomplish. So,
and even if you don't, like, take massive action to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you can be like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how I'm going to get there,
right.
but I believe in my ability to figure it out.
Yep. I love it. I love it because a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this podcast.
I hope so. All
All right.
I've been jamming.
I know. Purchases of less than $100 that have most improved your life.
Purchases under $100 that most improved my life.
We'll do purchase.
Purchase.
So you don't have to think of too much of it.
I mean, I don't know. Any kind of coaching program under $100 would be great. I've probably most improved my life. A book. Yeah, I'll tell you. Like, books. Just like books, you can get books for $10. You get 10 books, right?
You can get them. What's the
$5
store? You can get them free. There's a basket.
I'd say John Maxwell. I'd say anything John Maxwell is going to be great, and you can get one of his books under $100, and that's probably what's changed my life the most. Yeah.
Again, what I keep hearing over and over is Audible and books.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you can learn. Success leaves clues. Right. Go back, look at the success, and follow the clues. And you can do that through books.
Yeah.
When you write your first book?
I don't know.
Not on the radar yet?
I mean, I know it's something that I definitely want to get in there and do.
Yes. What question do you have for me?
How long are you going to keep the beard?
1 year. So I've challenged myself for 1 year. This December, I will cut it.
Yeah.
Actually, January 1, 2019.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
December 1, 2019?
Yeah.
Why that date?
Just because because started No Shave November. November this year would literally be 1 year. But the thing is, I can't cut it in December when Santa's running around. Like, I have to also compete with that guy. My beard better be strong.
Yeah.
Right? So after that, then I'll cut it.
That was like a joke question, but another a good question would be, What's Ruben's vision in the next 10 years? Right, like, have you discovered what your life purpose is, or like what you're truly here to do?
Yeah, I think I'm dabbling. Anytime I do something that feels really, really good or feels like the right direction, I just go deeper into it. And what I'm finding that to be is coaching, coaching with agents to coach their agents on how they can build the biggest life ever, and they can do that through building a big business. So I'll say the coaching part, but definitely we'll be moving to a position where I'm coaching coaches.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we're already looking for a coach in a market center that I'm doing in Pinehurst, and I'm talking to someone else where I will be over coaches that are in different market centers, which are offices, so I'm just be coaching the coaches. So eventually coaching the coaches at a form of leverage, but that's where I see myself, just being...
That broadens your impact.
That's right.
For what you're doing, right?
Yeah, and I was talking
to
someone...
Working with people to develop.
Yeah, exactly. And I was talking to someone about that with first starting in real estate. You're helping in the transaction, right? You're helping them sell their home so they can go somewhere. Or you're helping them buy a home because they love this place or for whatever reason. And that's one transaction. Yes, there's a ripple effect. So they might meet the coolest neighbor that they've ever met in their life that becomes their best friend or whatever, which is great. Man, you hit a different level of giving when you're coaching someone to give to agents, or you're coaching someone to be able to coach the agents underneath them that impact 200, 300 plus deals a year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's a big reach.
Mm-hmm. And you're coaching these teams, and then you're going to put coaches that coach those teams.
Yes. Do you see?
Yeah.
It's just this one large impact into the world.
Yeah.
And the energy just... So, I'll say that's where I'll be.
Nice, man. That's awesome.
All right, so one last question you have for everyone listening, and for everyone listening, you know the game plan. Leave a comment below, and he will see it. What question do you have for everyone who's listening?
Oh, man. One question for everyone who's listening.
They're listening.
Do you ever give gifts? And if you have given gifts, what's either the best gift that you've ever given, or what was the result of the gift that you gave? Did they, did they bring tears to their eyes? Did it, like, build the relationship? Did it, bring joy to their life? What did it do for you? Like, so what did that gift do?
And you're going deep into the gifting world, man.
Dude, that's what I do, man. That's what I do.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, guys, you heard that. So go ahead, comment below. What's that best gift, and what was the impact of that gift? He really wants to hear about it. I'm sure he'll message you back.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for inviting me to your pad.
Yeah, man.
All right, brother.
Appreciate it.